I'm still at a loss every time I walk up here for that sermon intro. How are you today? Everybody good? Help me welcome our campuses that are joining with us today. To all of you at our campuses, thanks for being there today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And let me just remind you, you've probably already heard about it today, but on October the 8th, all of our campuses are going to be doing Big Fall Sunday. It's going to be an exciting time. A lot of great things will be happening at your location, so make sure you're there and bring somebody with you, and let's see what God can do on that day as we gather together to celebrate each other and celebrate what God is up to. Over the past few weeks, I've been talking on this subject of who, what, and where. The first week, we talked about who we are as individuals. Last week, we talked about what difference do we make. And today, I want to talk about where do I fit. Now, let me just start it this way by saying this. How many of you have raised children? Any of you here are in the process of raising children, okay? How many of you have ever had this happen? That one of your children run in the room or come in from outside, and they go, "Mom, Dad," and their whole world is over at this point, okay? I mean, it's over. The life is over. And they go, "Mom, Dad, they won't let me play. Whatever it is," because all of a sudden they get shifted aside, right? Some of you may have experienced this even in school or whatever, and I'm sure they've come up with a much better way of doing it now because, you know, we want to make sure everybody gets a trophy. Sorry, but when I went to school, let's go way back. When I went to school, you'd be out on the playground, and they would choose up teams. Anybody remember that? And didn't you love being the last one chosen, and they start arguing about who's got to take you? Right? Come on, you don't raise your hand that you had that happen to you, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And the problem was, man, we all want to fit. We all want to belong. We don't want to feel like that we're being forced onto somebody or somebody's making us do anything or whatever. We all want to be accepted. That's part of life. It's part of nature, the way that we're made, the way that we're created. We're social beings, and so because of that, we all want to fit somewhere. We all want to feel like we belong somewhere. You know, you listen to even contemporary music today, and you know, whether it's Taylor Swift or Linkin Park or whoever, they're talking about belonging. There's songs about belonging. Why? Because everybody wants to belong. One of the longest running shows on television back in my day, some of you have seen the reruns on Nick at Night, I'm sure. But anyway, back in the day, there was the catch line on this song that came on for this show was, "Where everybody knows your name and everybody's glad you came." I know it's about a bar, don't judge me, okay? But isn't it interesting that people want to know that somebody knows my name and somebody's glad that I showed up. The whole premise of the show Friends was about belonging. The whole premise of the show How I Met Your Mother is about a group that belongs together and has this fit with one another. So there's this longing in all of our lives to feel at home. And so we have a tendency to want to fit. We have a tendency to want to belong. And so we want to make sure that we go to the right school. We want to make sure we get the best job, the right job. We sure want to make sure we marry the right person. If you think eternity is going to be long, marry the wrong one. All right, let's keep moving. Okay, we even want to know how many Facebook friends we have, how many people are following us on Twitter, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things are about belonging. It's about feeling like that we fit somewhere, feeling like that somebody cares about where we are, who we are, and whatever. And so today what I want to share with us is first of all, I want to show you a little bit about the system that we all live in and how it says that you need to fit. And then I want to show you what I believe is a better path to getting there, and that is what God's Word says about us in our lives and how that we ought to fit. Now, here's the deal. The world system says this about you, is that you have to be what others expect you to be. right? In other words, you've got to fit into a certain category, and if you don't fit into that category, then you're a nobody and all this kind of stuff. In fact, the whole connotation there is kind of this, is that failure is not an option. Okay, let me ask a question of you, those of you watching as well as those of you here. How many of you have ever failed? And the rest of you just did. Right? If you didn't raise your hand and say you failed, you just did, right? Because we've all failed, and we've all, the Bible says that we've all failed and fallen short of the glory of God. It's with just who we are. But the problem is that the world has a tendency to kind of make you want to fit in certain ways, and there's this expectation that's in your life that you've got to fit in a certain thing, you got to do this or whatever. The world system says this about your life. It says that you have to always be with the right people, right? In fact, you found that out when you went to school. Even in kindergarten, you had to be in the right group. But I want to tell you, as you go through, you get in about junior high and on into high school, it matters who you're with. Come on, there is a pecking order, and again, it's been a while since I've been there, but I guarantee you it hasn't changed. There is a pecking order in high school. There's a pecking order in the whole process of you know, junior high and that whole thing, and you know, you got to figure out, are you a geek? Are you a nerd? Are you a jock? Are you a cheerleader? Are you the class president? Are you the class dummy? You know, you got to figure it all out, because it really matters where you are and who you're running with. And boy, if you don't run with the right people, right? Come on. In fact, let me just help you. Even in that whole setting, you can't date out of who you run with. Right? There's a group you can date out of, and don't you dare try to go to a group that seemingly is. Why are y'all looking at me like this? Right? That's a different, group that's at school. You can't date them because you don't fit with them. That whole aspect there, that whole thing, because it's what the world system says to us. In fact, it says, if you're not somebody, you're nobody. And that's kind of the way that life is lived. And here's the deal. Let me help you. That doesn't stop at high school. Doesn't stop at college. It doesn't stop when you get married. It doesn't. We all find ourselves struggling to fit. All right? Maybe there's something about you that's a little different, and you try to fit. And you say, well, you know, I don't fit here, and I don't fit there. And the problem with that is that we spend our lives trying to fit others' expectations. See, the world system says that you have to always be at the top. You've always got to be way up here. And yet what I found is that you don't stay on top. The Bible talks about that there's mountains, but it also talks about that there's valleys in life. There's successes, but there's also failures. There's victories, but there's also defeats in life that each and every one of us are going to go through. But the world system says to you, if you're not first, you lose. You're just done with. In fact, you really probably don't matter a whole lot in this system. And what happens to us is because of that, we have a tendency to live very insecure lives. Because we're always trying to meet up to something that we can never get to. Instead of coming to a place of understanding, and hopefully I can show you today, that we really do fit. We really do belong. There is a place, and it doesn't matter, and I hope I get to share that with you today, that it really doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your economic status. It doesn't matter anything that this world has said is so important, because God says that you belong in His world and in His kingdom. Here's what we have to come to. When the world system doesn't satisfy any longer, and I want to tell you, for every one of us, there's going to come that moment. There is going to come that time in your life. It doesn't matter how far you get, how high you climb, whatever it is that you bring into your life, there is going to come some kind of a crisis. There's going to come some kind of a moment in your life where you go, you know what? I have gained all of this stuff, but it really hasn't satisfied, and I still don't really feel like I belong where I need to be. then I have the opportunity today to share with you what the Word of God says, how that you can find a place in His kingdom and in His body where that He can love you and where you can be loved. Now, let me set it up this way. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where I want to spend a few minutes in. But here's what I want to share with you today, is that in all of our lives, in all of our understanding, one of the things that haunts us the most, I think, is this whole aspect of insecurity. The most secure person that you meet, if you really drill down into it, are we okay? Can I just talk to you? The most secure person that you meet, if you really spend time with them, you'll find out they're insecure about something. There's something that they're not sure about. They cover it up. In fact, here's what I'll tell you. The person that brags the most and seemingly always is just in your face, they probably are the person who are the most afraid that you're going to find out they're not really who they say they are. Right? And a lot of us have lived lives that way. We have spent our existence upon this earth trying to be the prettiest, trying to be the most handsome, trying to be the one who's the jock, trying to be all of this so that we can fit, so I can have a place that I feel significant in. And yet what we find is that, listen, no matter how good you get, let me help you real quickly, no matter how good you get, there's usually somebody better. I don't mean to mess your world up. And so what we've got to come to is, are those things in our life, is the car that I drive, the house that I live in, the clothes that I wear, the people that I hang out with, the neighborhood that I live in, are those things going to determine who I am and how I live life? Or am I going to come to that place in life where I say, wait a minute, I need to figure out where it is that I belong and let all the rest of this go away? All right, now let's look at it. The book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'll just start off reading one verse of Scripture because I want to help you see that you belong, okay? Here's what the Scripture says. Now you, okay, so just stop there. You, that's everybody, okay? Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. All right? So, first of all, if you're a believer today, the Scripture is saying to you, you belong. If you aren't in relationship with Jesus Christ, what the Scripture is saying to you is, look, there's a place for you to belong. God's already taken care of everything. All you've got to do is be willing to belong. But we belong. We have a place of belonging. And I belong not because of what I have done. I belong because of what He has done. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is about finding my place. It's about how do I get there? How do I find out my place in the body of Christ? So verse 13 says this, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. And he says it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, if you're a slave or you're free. He says we were all given of this one Spirit to drink. So what is he saying? He is saying to us that we are all part of God's body. All right? If you don't like me today, I'm going to mess with you. That's your problem. Because whether you like it or not, I'm part of your body. I just don't like them. Listen, you're part of the body of Christ. If you're part of the body of Christ, then we all have to like one another. I told somebody the other day, I said, you got to like them. They said, no, Pastor, I love them. I said, no, you got to like them. Yeah. Come on, we've all said it. We've all said somebody said, well, I love them. I love them enough to go to heaven, but I hate their guts. All right, maybe we didn't say it quite that way, right? But we've got to come to that place where we understand that we are part of God's body. The second thing is found in verse 15 and 16. He begins this dialogue, and he talks about it. He says, now if the foot is to say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, he said, would it stop being part of the body? Well, the answer to that is, of course, no. He said, and if the eye would say, I don't belong in the body, and the ear would say, I mean, it goes, and he's just using an analogy there in this. Here's what he's saying to us. He's saying that you and I, that I am being what God wants me to be. All right? You didn't choose, let me help you. You didn't choose how you were born. You didn't choose to what home you were born in. You didn't choose what sex you were going to be. You didn't choose your skin color. You didn't choose any of those things. We were all born by the will of God. And so what we have to come to today is that the process of my life is that I am being what God wants me to be. I'm not being what somebody else wants me to be. Come on, this ought to help somebody. I'll just stay here and drill a while, okay? The problem is that we have a tendency to try to live life being like somebody else. You remember back in the day when Michael Jordan was playing basketball and the catch line was, I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. I don't think most people want to play ball like Mike. I think they just want to be rich like Mike, honestly. But everybody want to be like Mike. Well, why don't you quit trying to be like Mike and be like Bob or Sue or whatever? Be who you are. Be what it is that God's called you to be. I can't be what I'm not. All right. The tendency that I find so often in people's lives is they spend all their life trying to fix weaknesses instead of working on strengths. Let's talk football. No, really, let's talk football, okay? Let me help you with this. Those of you that are football fans, if you have a team and you have a right side of the line that's strong and the left side of the line that's weak, you don't get in the huddle and say, we want to get the left side of the line strengthened, so we're going to work on it in this game. So we're going to run every play. Come on, football guys and gals. You know what I'm telling you. We're going to run every play to the left side. You're not running to the left side. Why? Because there's problems on the left side. The guy's been eating Twinkies for the last 6 months and hadn't been to the workout room in a year. I mean, that's just a mess, okay? But Bubba on the line on the right weighs 328 pounds and he's solid muscle. He can take out a freight train if it comes at him. What you're going to do is you're going to take every play and you're going to say, see, Bubba, get behind Bubba and run. Run, Forrest, run. All right? Now, you say, Pastor, shouldn't I work on my weaknesses? Yeah, you ought to be aware of them, whatever. But what I'm saying to us is that we spend so much time on our weaknesses that we never realize what our strengths are, and we never work into what God has called us to be, because we're always looking at somebody else and something over here and saying, well, I'm not like them, so I really ought to be more like them. Listen, I'm not like a lot of people, and a lot of people are thankful for that, and I'm thankful for that. Right? We've got to come to this place. I learned years ago, don't come to me for counseling. You don't want to come to me for counseling. It's a known fact. Don't go to pastor for counseling. Why? Because he's going to tell you what he thinks. And we all know that in counseling, we want to talk a lot, right? And pastor, after 5 minutes, pastor's going to look at you and say, okay, let me help you. You go do these 8 things, work them out, and let's go, all right? And don't come back to me until you've done those 8 things. I'm not wired. I tried it. I really did. I was trained, you know, pastors do counseling. And so I it's a wonder that anybody stayed in my church. I mean, back in the day, people come to me, oh, you want to counsel? Oh, yeah, I'll counsel you. Come on in. Yeah, I mean, I'm horrible at it. I am the world's worst at counseling. You don't want to come to me for counseling. Now, if you want direction in life, if you want vision for your life, if you want to know how to go somewhere, come to me. We'll get that. But if you want somebody to help you and just to hold your hand and to say, oh, come on, baby, it's going to be okay,
Why are y'all looking at me? I am not your guy. But I'm okay with that because God did not make me that way. When he looked down at me, he said, I'm breaking that one right there. Taking that out, it's not even in his vocabulary. All right? So what happens is, though, is that the most frustrating thing I can remember, I'll just share this with you. I can remember back in the day when I did counseling. When somebody would come to me and say, Pastor, I need to do counseling, I'd go, okay, all right. Because, again, I'm being religious and spiritual and holy and the mighty man of God. You know, that S on my shirt stood for stupid, not Superman. And so I was doing it. And I would, it didn't matter. It could be, you know, it was coming up on Friday. I would be half sick of my stomach all week long, just dreading what was going to happen. And it wasn't because of the person. It's just because I wasn't wired to do it. Does that make sense? Please hear me today. See, one of the aspects there, in fact, verse 17 through 18, I heard it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And it goes through that whole thing. And it says, if the whole body were an ear, and you got it. But what it's saying to us is this, is that I am discovering and honoring my uniqueness. You've got to honor what it is that God made you to be. Okay? When you fight against that, you dishonor God. Does that make sense? I just think that we've got a lot of frustrated human beings, and I think we've got a whole bunch of Christians that have just looked around at somebody else and say, oh, I want to be like that person, I want to be like that person, and not realizing that God had created you in a special way. I've told this before, but let me just share it again. I can remember years ago when I first started preaching the first, you know, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, I'd hear somebody preach and I'd come back and try to preach like them. I'd even steal their notes. I don't mind telling you. I'll fess up to my sins, okay? I'd take their notes, preach it word for word, and it'd be like, you know, it didn't matter. I could take a T.D. Jakes sermon and try to preach like T.D. Jakes. I'd be so tired when I was done. I'm telling you, I'd try to do the huzz and the, you know, get the organ going. And man, I go, I just want to say to you today, ha! And you know, I could do it, but man, it wears me out. It's just like, I'd go get ready, and by the third get ready, I was ready to lay down. It was like, come on. And then a lot of you can tell for years and years, one of my favorite preachers was Charles Stanley. And I would listen to Charles Stanley every day, and I got so I got to where I'd hear myself saying, listen, just like Charles. If you well, three listens, listen. And then I listen to Andy Stanley now, and I find myself, you know, and what we do is that if we're not careful, we lose ourselves trying to be somebody else. Instead of coming to the place of understanding, I've got to honor the uniqueness that God has created me to be. And when I do that, then I am fulfilling my role in the kingdom, and I fit. I belong when I do what it is that God's called me to do. Now, how do we determine that fit? Okay, let's do that real quick. Go to the book of Matthew. Let me quickly do this, all right? Because I think some of us miss this a lot, all right? Here's where we find him. Jesus talking one day said this to the guys fishing. He said, come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, how do I determine my fit, okay? It's found in these couple of little verses here that we see that the disciples, when they heard Jesus say, come and follow me, in that moment, something happened, okay? So the first thing that's got to happen is this, and I'll be quick, and that is this. Finding my fit begins when I hear his call. All right? I'm not going to get there unless I hear it. Okay? There are some of you who are listening to me today, some of you are at our campuses today, that you're hearing this and you go, well, you know, I thought about being a Christian one time, but you know, I just didn't think I fit, and I just, you know, I didn't know. Wait a minute. Listen, God's calling you today. God's calling every one of us. And the issue is that he gives you an invitation. All right? But the deal about God is this, is that he does not coerce us. He doesn't make you follow him. He'll call you. He will invite you. In fact, I believe everyone is called. But it's my choice what I'm going to do. In fact, it's even my choice whether or not I hear the call. Okay? And so some of you today who are listening are saying, I'm not even sure that God has called me. Let me help you. He has. Here's how I know that. The Bible says this, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word repentance means to turn from where we've been and begin to walk in relationship with God. In other words, to find our fit with God Almighty. And so in our lives, we've got to come to that place where we understand that finding my fit, first of all, starts with the call of God. But it doesn't stop there. Secondly, finding my fit begins when I answer the call. All right? Jesus called them. Now they had to answer. They had to say yes. Okay? There are people every day who leave this world without coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. They heard the call, but they never answered the call. And we've got to come to that place today of looking at our lives, first of all, and saying, have I answered the call of Jesus Christ to my life? And you say, Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know the things about my life. Let me just say this to you. God's bigger than your dysfunction. Can we get that in the church? Can we settle that once and for all? Because we look at people, in fact, let me just say this, and I'll get in trouble for saying it, but there's going to be a whole lot of people in heaven that you didn't think are going. And you may be surprised at some you thought were going who didn't get there. All right? Now, I'm just going to be proud I get there. I'm just going to tell you. Okay? When I get there and look around and go, I made it, I'm going, thank you, Jesus. All right? I was assured of my salvation, but there were moments, Lord, I doubted, okay? But I'm here and I made it, okay? But the deal is that I have to come to that place where I choose whether or not I accept the invitation. I make in that moment, the disciples did here, I make in that moment a life-changing decision. And what happens right then when I say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you, is that I then allow God to define my life, not me. Okay? No longer am I going to define, this is how I live, this is what I do, et cetera, et cetera. In that moment, when I hear the voice of God and then I answer the call of God, then what I am saying is, Lord, now you define my life. And I want to tell you, sometimes when you take that step, that definition is going to be different than what you thought. I don't know if anybody's found that out but me. Right? When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I didn't want to be a preacher. Preaching was not one of those things that I said, oh boy, I want to be a preacher. I wasn't one of those guys that was running after a stage and a microphone. But God had a way of saying, this is what I want your life to be. And I had to make sure in that moment, and that's the third thing, is that finding my fit begins when I follow his call. I can answer it, but if I don't follow, right? You remember the story in Scripture where Jesus tells a story and he says that a dad went to his son and to his two sons and said, hey, I want you to go work in the field today. And one of them said, I'm not going. Up front, not going. The other one says, oh, yeah, Dad, I'll go. Story goes on, Jesus tells and says, the one who said, I'm going to go, didn't go. The one who said, I'm not going to go, a little bit later in the day, said, you know what, my dad needs me to go, I think I'll go, went out there. And Jesus asked the question, who did the Father's will? Not the one who said, I'm going to do it. Right? I mean, how many times have we sung about following Jesus? I have decided to follow Jesus. But you know what? Deciding to follow Jesus is more than a song. It is a decision that you make on a daily basis that said, I am going to follow out the call that God has for my life, and I'm going to live out what he calls me to do. In other words, what it says is, Lord, I'm putting total trust in you. Another old song we used to sing that says, trust and obey, for there's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Following means that he leads. All right? I don't dance, okay? First of all, I'm a white man. Secondly, come on, you ever seen white people dance? It's not pretty. Why y'all looking at me like that? The second thing is, I was raised in a church that said that a praying knee and a dancing foot couldn't be on the same leg. So, all right? But here's what I know. Certain types of dances, foxtrot, those kind of, that somebody leads and somebody else follows. All right? In this relationship with you and God, he's the leader, you're the follower. All right? When you have a sign on the front of your car that says, Jesus is my co-pilot, he's not. He's either the pilot or he's not on board. He's in charge or he's not there. See, here's the deal. Following means he's leading, and it also means I don't know the details of what's going to happen. That's where faith comes in. That's where you and I come to that place of saying, listen, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ no matter what. Now, here's the issue, and I want to close today with this. The one concern that I have in the body of Christ today is that we have established ourselves as spiritual hypocrites. Now, that's a way to shut a congregation down, to make a statement like that. But here's what I mean by that. I mean that we pretend that we have what we don't have. We act as though, okay, let me just talk about me because I'm making you nervous. It is expected that preachers never have a wrong thought, never say a wrong word, never lose their Holy Ghost on 45. You're the man. And I can remember a few years ago, I was with Sherry, who's not here today, so I can tell this story. And we were at a church, and God had been good, and we were preaching across the U.S. somewhere, and God had done some really great things, and this little lady came up after church, and she was thanking me for the day and whatever, and Sherry was standing there, and it was one of those moments that I wish I had on video, because she looked at Sherry, this little short, blonde, bubbly, and she said, and she was talking about me, she said, oh, is he always that way? And I could see the gears in Sherry's head turning. And it was like, I don't really want to mess this woman's faith up, but can I really tell her the truth? Because I'm just going to tell you. Let me just say it this way, and maybe it'll help you. I am at my best right here. Everything else is downhill. At least I'm honest about it. Okay? What you say, Pastor, what are you saying? I am saying that the one thing that's got to happen in the body of Christ is that we've got to come to the place that understand that my fitting or my belonging is not because I am perfect or because I have it all together. It is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me, and I am redeemed not with corruptible things, but I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so I still have my problems. I still struggle with sin. I still have days that I don't want to pray. I still have moments I don't want to go to church. I still have times I think, if I got to see one more person. Come on. Is this too real? Just, you know, I think that's where the Bible says we're going to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I think it's one of those days. And yet what has happened is that we've kind of propagated this idea that
Christians have everything together and everything's wonderful, and people look in at us and go, I really want to be a believer. I really want to be a Christian, but I got some dysfunctions. I got some problems. I still struggle using some words at times I shouldn't use, or I still struggle with this habit, or I still have this mindset, or there's a lifestyle issue back here that I haven't handled yet. It's easy, and I'll be done. I promise. I'm quitting. It's easy to have a pure church if there's nobody in it. I mean, I've years and years ago, I had some people who were in our church, and they had a certain mindset, and they came to me, and they were prophetically gifted people, and this is years ago. I was in my early 30s. And they said, we want to meet with you. I said, okay. Again, that's when I was doing meetings. And I knew they had a prophetic bent. They came in and they said, Pastor, there's sin in the church. And I go, oh, man, I'm in trouble. They know what I've been doing. God's revealed it. And I was ready to, you know, get sackcloth and ashes and start dumping it on my head. And they said, no, do you know we got things? And they started talking about sin that was in the church. And they said, you need to preach. You need to get these people. And on and on and on. And finally they got done. And I looked at them and I said, here's the difference in the two of us. I said, you're wanting a perfect church. And I'm wanting a church where people are striving for perfection, where they're reaching for it. I'm not justifying living in sin, people. It's not what I'm saying. Do not misconstrue what Pastor is saying today. The Apostle Paul is quite clear. Shall we continue in sin? The grace may abound. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? But the same guy that said that says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And so I find that who he wrote that to was, he wasn't writing to unbelievers. He was writing to church people. He was writing to those of us who call ourselves Christians. And he said, hey, by the way, give you another one, he said. He said, if you say you're without sin, you lie. What's he saying? Is he saying it's okay just to live any way that we want to and just say, well, the grace of God covered us? That's not what he's saying. But he is saying to us, listen, you fit. God has made you. He has formed you. He has put you in his body. And yes, you've got some dysfunction, but his grace is greater than your dysfunction. His grace is greater than what it is that you're struggling with. And let me say this to you. As long as you keep struggling, you're okay. It's the moment you quit struggling that you get in trouble. The Bible says the righteous falls 7 times, but he gets back up. As long as you keep getting back up, that's the key to what it is that God has for us. And so I challenge us today, for those of you who are kind of on the outside looking in, I challenge you to go ahead and hear the call and accept the call of the Lord today on your life, because he loves you. He loves you more than anybody has ever loved you. But I want to say to the rest of us who have already accepted that call and who walk around in guilt and insecurity, understand his grace, his love covers a multitude of sin. And he cares for you today. And he made you to fit in his body. And his love is set upon you.